the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to episode number 189 of the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available, as always, on iTunes and at NFL.com/Sheck.
S-H-E-K, Sheck.
Oh, yes, it gets me ready. Let's be honest, I was already ready for week three of the NFL plus the college football slate. And to help you get in that same frame of mind, there he is. He will be with us on the second podcast weekly during the football season. You see him hosting. I wish I could remember the name of the thing. What is it called there? But first, let me say his name. It's Elliot Harrison. What's the poop?
Yeah, fella? I felt odd talking. I didn't know what you were going to introduce me as, so I didn't feel like I should talk.
E-H, Elliot Harrison. What's the Thursday night?
It's NFL.com
app.
Live.
NFL.
NFL.com Live. We're right there on NFL.com. You put us on during Thursday night football. You'll hear us.
We've got kibitz about the game. Matt Money Smith is calling it.
With Solly.
All 22, Solomon Wilcots. Yep. It's a gay old time. That's for sure.
It's not just the all 22 either, though. There's low angle. There's high end zone cam. It's really a different way to look at a football game. So
all
check
right,
us out on Thursday.
Let's not chill too much at the top. Let's get to the football talk.
NFL.com Live. Thursday night football.
Thank you.
Tie. And Black Tie and I are there. We do social media. We address questions with the people, and then they give us their answers. All right, and also, you know him from all the way across the Atlantic Ocean, here now in California, still rooting for the Miami Dolphins. It's Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank.
Hello, Handsome. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Thank you, Dave. Thanks for having me back.
Heady days, and I know you said it on the last podcast, and we're about to get into our picks. That's how we do the second show each week. We try to focus on the games upcoming, and I should mention the fact that, one, we have Dwight Freeney, the 1-1 Chargers, the 12th year man. Many moons with the Colts. We'll hear. Me and Rank are going to kibitz with him. Rank will join us for that interview. But in the meantime, now let's talk about the games. And first one that really, a week ago when we were talking about the Dolphins hosting the Falcons, I thought, they're going to, you know, they might lose at Indianapolis, and then the Falcons are suddenly going to be 1-2. That said, I had the confidence to pick them, the Dolphins in Indy. They validated my confidence, and now I feel like they might beat the Falcons. How say you?
I think are we playing the challenge flag game?
Yeah.
I don't want to get
doing?
In trouble.
We got to do challenge flag. You're right.
I don't want
to
get in trouble by saying too much.
So you're
and
supposed
then
to say something.
I'm just
and
supposed
I
to say something,
it.
And then he challenges
yeah.
it.
I forgot. See, I'm already. I'm out of sorts here. Black Tie. Why? Because I've been doing a lot. The Shame Report's up there on NFL.com/Sheck. It is. It's the Sheck slash Shame Report.
You've really lost your way.
I have. That's right. And two, also, a brand new episode of The Sports Car. This is when I get in there and I wheel around town.
Who are you driving with?
Jamal Charles. Jamal Charles of the Kansas City Chiefs in front of Thursday Night Football. Well, if you're listening to this on Friday, after that terrific game last night, or if you're listening on Saturday, a couple nights ago, great game out of Philadelphia. Do you think they're going to boo him? Let's predict that. Do you think the fans are going to boo Andy Reid when he arrives? EH.
I do not. I don't. You know, there are going to be some people just because they want to keep up that Philadelphia MO, but I think he's going to get a lot of cheers.
Handsome Hank?
I'm going to throw the challenge flag.
Have
we started
right.
that yet? Have we started that yet?
This is our new game.
What exactly are you throwing?
We're calling it Upon Further Review. We call it, that's our name for it, where EH or Handsome makes a statement, and then the other has the opportunity to throw the red challenge flag.
So let's go Dolphins-Falcons.
Well, we're going to. I'm just asking, are they going to boo Andy Reid? Because that'll be interesting.
I think they will.
You do think that?
I think some will.
I think this. I think that the Philadelphia fans, in a weird sort of paradox now, are now offended by the nation calling them mean fans.
Right.
That then they get salty when you say, well, you're from Philadelphia. You guys are mean. Like,
shut up, dude. You ever see how people in Dallas and people in Pittsburgh, people in Chicago, they're way worse than we are. Now they have this, they're offended by this well-earned reputation that they have.
So you think tomorrow they're going to make nice so that they can lose that reputation?
I think they will. I think that this is going to be the first step in that direction. Hmm. All right, now let's get to the week three games. I am merely the referee, and I'm going to offer up some games that I consider to be juicy. By the way, go over to NFL.com in the fantasy page, and you'll find NFL Weekly Pick'em. We have the DDFP group. Join it. And right now, I am ashamed to say, everybody in Studio 66 and outside of it as well should be ashamed, because guess who's in the lead? It's Black Tie.
That's amazing.
Anything you want to say,
it's
Black
ridiculous.
Tie?
It's just the truth, guys. I mean, you guys in front of the glass think you know it all about the game, but in all honesty, that's why I'm not a fan of any team. You have your Steelers, Hank has his Dolphins, EH has his Cowboys. I analyze. I sit back and I analyze, and I make my picks of an analytical point of view.
Analyzing body language.
That too, obviously. And get used to it, guys. Let's get used to it.
All right. Well, so let's get to the challenge flag segment upon further review. And we'll start out there. I offer you a game. I'm going to start with you, Handsome. You say what you think's going to happen. And then, Elliot, you'll have a chance to throw the challenge flag if you're going to go the other way. This one, the we've one got, and one. What?
Well, we've got the rules down. I just want to – we did a little rehearsal
yesterday.
Oh,
did you?
So we do have the rules down this time.
Yeah.
Oh, great, great.
I just want to know if Dolphins-Falcons is still the game that we're talking about, because you started on that like 5 minutes ago, but I didn't know.
I didn't understand that that the podcast today was going to be devoted to taking shots at Dave Damashek. That's not what I'm interested in. And just as a quick reminder to everybody, what happens when that when someone goes in that direction, you feel the sting of the Han Solo Edition blaster. Jerk! Doesn't feel so good now, does it? You've learned your lesson.
Sorry, Dave.
I feel like Greedo.
Yeah, yeah. I think you've said it all. All right, now, Handsome, you say it all. Atlanta Falcons, 1-1 after surviving the St. Louis Rams second half charge at the 2-0 Miami Dolphins.
I think the Miami Dolphins will win, Dave.
I agree.
Here we go.
Hey, listen. Atlanta had trouble protecting Matt Ryan in that game. He got beat up. Dolphins' strength is pass rush. Deion Jordan will play more than 7 snaps this week. Miami's at home. Atlanta is devoid of Steven Jackson. Roddy White is nursing a bum ankle, right. I believe. I think this is a tough game for the Falcons. I'm picking the Dolphins as well.
What do you think, EH, looking at Ryan Tannehill now in year two? What impresses you? Is there something missing from the offense? I know they haven't given a ton of opportunity to their, you know, several running backs there. Do you like what you see?
Not from the running backs. I called them the mediocre express, and I'm sticking to that. However, with Tannehill, I've heard from multiple people that you don't have to tell him things twice. And that's what you want to hear about a young quarterback. I mean, yes, you want a Russell Wilson type that's the first guy in the weight room, wears a suit and tie for everything. That's great, too. But you also like a quarterback that you don't have to tell something twice to. And,
well,
and I like
you
the way he's playing.
That's a weird little irony that you guys are saying the same thing twice, that you guys are telling me the same thing twice when you make the same picks. What was that? Sorry.
Trent Richardson's being traded to the Colts.
That's not true.
It's a true story. Breaking news on NFL.com.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I just broke that news right here in this group.
Wow.
I just broke news.
First round, 2014
first round pick.
Wow.
What?
The Browns are bringing Willis McGahee to Cleveland.
Whoa.
I'm speechless. That is unbelievable.
Is this some silly English prank, Andy?
This is no.
You're saying
this
Trent Richardson.
Dave.
The guy drafted out of Alabama.
Dave.
Trent, it says on NFL.com, breaking news, Trent Richardson traded to the Colts. What gives?
What an incredible move.
Lombardi and company waving the white flag, obviously, on 2013, huh?
Well, they got a 2014 first round pick. I think they should be happy. They obviously want, you know, there must be something about him that they don't like.
How can you be cavalier at this point? This is crazy news, right? This is a Heisman Trophy winner.
Well, now hang on. They're getting a first round pick, so basically what they're getting is a do over. Now, they may not get as high a pick as what Richardson was, but it doesn't matter. If he helps her football team, he helps her football team. I'm talking about the guy that they end up getting. So let's say that they get the 15th overall pick, okay? If that guy helps the team, it doesn't matter that he's not a fifth overall pick or whatever. The other thing, too, is I think a lot of teams are looking at spending first-round picks on running backs as old formula. Look at Mark Ingram. Look at David Wilson. The only first-round pick that's been working out is Doug Martin, correct?
Sure.
So I got to be honest, I understand this. I do understand this from an organizational overview. For right now, it looks bad. It looks like, hey, the Cowboys in 89, they were awful, and they're trading their best player. Everyone in Dallas is freaking out. You're like, great, we're awful, and you're trading the one guy we have who's actually good. But if you're looking at this from an overview, and what this tells me, too, is that Mike Lombardi feels like he's going to be in that chair for a while.
Yeah, right. This is a bold move.
And having two first-round picks in next year's draft might be a good thing so that they can hop up. I mean, obviously, today they already made one relatively big move by naming Brian Hoyer as their starting quarterback for this weekend's game. So what you're talking about is we need a quarterback. We've made that very
clear.
They
know, right. They know that they can't win the division. They know that they're not a legitimate threat to do anything. As somebody who roots for the Steelers at 0-2, they lose to the Bears on Sunday night. I immediately go into 3-13 mode. I'm rooting for 3-13 so that they get a legitimate high pick there.
Yeah.
And obviously that's what Cleveland's doing. What does it do for the Colts, though? First of all, what's it do to my fantasy team? Because I have Ahmad Bradshaw now.
Well, that's interesting because Ahmad Bradshaw against the Dolphins, I thought, played relatively well. I think he averaged somewhere around 4.5 yards a carry. He was certainly didn't look disgraceful. On first blush, it sounds like, wow, the Browns have just made an odd move. But based on what Elliot just said about not necessarily wanting to spend first-round picks on running backs, and if you do, you want to get one as young as you possibly can, it kind of is as much a confusing move for me for the Colts.
Well, let me go from a couple different angles here. Someone in Cleveland had to evaluate or at least throw this out here as like, hey, what do we think of the Colts? Because think about it. Oakland goes in there and almost hands it to them. Almost. Okay, if Pryor doesn't throw that pick at the end. Colts lose in Miami. Colts are going to lose this weekend at Candlestick. I hate to spoil our segment by saying that, but I already think the Colts are going to lose that game.
Agreed.
Okay?
You won't get a challenge flag from me for that.
So now you're talking 1-2. I'm also with you, Dave. I think Tennessee is the second best team right now in the AFC South, which I've heard you say. Okay? So you're looking at Indy possibly going – it could happen. I'm saying that they go 7-9 or 8-8. This could be a pretty valuable first-round pick. That's the first thing. Second thing, Trent Richardson has gotten all 31 of the Browns' carries by a running back. The Browns have 33 rushing attempts. Two are Brandon Whedon's scrambles, and the rest are all – so they've given Richard – it's been Richardson's baby from OTAs, minicamp, training camp, and now regular season. He's averaging 3.4 yards per carry. If you can't protect your quarterback, you need higher yards per carry than that, okay? And then from the Colts standpoint – you can't rely on Ahmad Bradshaw staying healthy for the whole season. This is his seventh year in the league. Vic Ballard is out for the year. And let's be honest, Vic Ballard was never going to be your lead dog anyway.
I thought that they were okay for a team that was going to sling it a lot, though, between Bradshaw. And don't forget, Donald Brown isn't half bad either.
Right.
He's got a lot of wear and tear for a relatively young guy. Had a million carries at UConn. But I can't believe that the thing that's interesting about it is that it makes the Colts better, which is going to – I would say that the Colts likely finish middle of the pack, say 16 pick. But with Richardson, you think they're going to be a little bit better, which is going to push them maybe down into the 20 range. Would that make them – that would make them right on the edge of a playoff team if they got to there. But still, the Browns now are going to be – they already are 0-2. They're basically waving the white flag on the season. So they should have a top 10 pick plus, let's say, a 20 pick. Yeah.
Well, let's just throw this out, too. You know, Norv is very famous for his time in Dallas and as well as in San Diego. You need a running back that can catch the football. I'm not saying that Trent Richardson can't catch the football, but Emmitt Smith, for example, was a very good player on third down. Maybe the Browns don't feel like Trent Richardson is good at picking up and pass protection or as good as he should be or as good as pass catcher as he should be, and that might play into this.
Right.
It's hard to say. This is breaking news. This is knee-jerk spot analysis.
And as part of this press release, the Browns have announced that they're bringing, for a physical at least, Willis McGahee to Cleveland.
Guess who just picked him up on his fantasy team?
Willis McGahee. Not bad there, Black Tie, except that he – is on a terrible team. And if Trent Richardson wasn't productive, how productive is the old man McGahee going
to
be? But
I'm glad you're paying attention to the quality of the production of this podcast while you're managing your age.
Listen, this is...
I don't know about you, Blacktop, but
for
I'm
us,
in.
For him to be on a football-related site right now is a victory for us. Listen, you can't ask too much. Listen, let's not ask for miracles.
When he says
that exciting, though. And can I say one thing? Something that I've lamented on more than one occasion about NFL football, there are so few in-season trades. They're very rarely trades at all compared to, I bet you volume-wise, baseball, hoops, and hockey have it beat every single year. Bettis got what are the big trades of the last 20 years even in the NFL?
Champ Bailey, Portis, to me, sticks out big time. Mm-hmm. I'm Eli
Revis.
Rivers. The Bettis Rams deal.
Right. Revis to Tampa.
But, you just hit a point right there.
This is fun. It's fun. Why we need more in-season trades. But
every team should have to make one.
All right,
I'm
I'll
serious.
Pass that
I
rule.
Think that's a good. I think that's a good idea.
But, you just brought up something here, or clicked something in my mind. Let's say that Trent Richardson this year in a Browns uniform would have ran for 825 yards, 7 touchdowns, and averaged 3.5 yards per carry. Would I be totally out of my mind to say that could have been his stat line? Just the way things are going, right? What are you going to get for Trent Richardson if you try to deal him after a year in which he runs for 825 yards, averages 3.5 yards per carry, and 7 touchdowns?
I think you exaggerated the modesty of his numbers, but still, I get your point, right? His value is going to be less, right?
And as GMs and scouts begin to fall in love with running backs, the deeper you go into the college football season that you could get in the draft,
that's a great point.
You lose value too.
All right. Listen, fellas, let's stick with the program here and the Cleveland Browns, EH. Let's get back to upon further review as these two fellas in front of me go head-to-head picking games. It's the 0-2 Cleveland Browns led by Willis McGahee and Brian Hoyer at the Minnesota Vikings.
The Cleveland Browns are going to go into Minnesota and upset themselves with a poor performance and lose the game.
Oh, he did some word play there. He tricked you. He was a little Yoda with his words there out of order and confused you.
He was, but he didn't confuse me that much. I am not going to throw the challenge flag on that one.
Boo to the both of you. I don't know what I have to do to make one of you choose against the other. All right, here we go now.
Here's the crazy thing, though, guys. Is Jordan Cameron the best player on the Browns now? Is he the best?
I don't know, but I'm sure you submitted a trade claim.
Just picked up Brian Hoyer.
I already had Cameron on my bench, but honestly, is he the best player they have on offense now? I mean, how speaking of talent.
Most effective,
Joe Thomas might be the best player on that Browns offense.
Positions, guys. We're talking 2013 football.
Of course, you don't draft. Oh, wow. Your fantasy team doesn't need an offensive line.
Skill positions, guys.
Well, as far as my fantasy team goes, this trade is not good for it. Ahmad Bradshaw is my number one backup, and I was counting on Josh Gordon's return this weekend to ignite my receiving core. Now he's not going to be much of a threat when Willis McGahee's the only threat to distract the defense. Dang. All right, so next game. What's the next game that I'm going to throw at you here? It will be the Chicago Bears at the Pittsburgh Steelers. 0-2 Steelers. And I got to tell you, I don't know if you watched the Sheck Report or if you caught the Monday press conference Tuesday press conference that Coach Tomlin conducted. But he said there that the Steelers, he went back and he's looked at the film, they aren't scoring enough points. Now, you may think, what? I don't know. Is he talking some math, some inside football stuff? But I looked it up, and it's true. They didn't score as many points as the Titans did in Week 1, nor did they score as many points as the Bengals did. His point is they need to score more points than the other team, and then they will win. I thought pretty clever stuff out of Mike Tomlin. Handsome Hank, how say you?
I think I think what Tomlin said there gives a real insight into what they're, behind the scenes, what they're working on with that team. The offense really, really, really trying to get the ball into the end zone.
All right, what's your pick?
Will they be successful
in doing so?
My pick for this game is that the Chicago Bears will go into Pittsburgh and beat the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I'm conflicted on this one. Obviously, we'll get to my picks in a little while here. E-H. I'll say you.
I just wonder if the Steelers capologist says, you know, we just got to keep our salary under the salary cap. I mean, that's... That was absolutely ridiculous. Please tell me that's not what Mike Tomlin said in the...
you should watch the Sheck Report, available now on NFL.com.
I'm a fan. I'm a little bigger fan of the NFL than the Sheck Report.
I've got a good one coming for you in a couple weeks anyway.
They're both outstanding. As far as Bears at Steelers, what did you say?
I said that the Bears would win that game.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but
don't
I agree.
You dare do it.
I agree. I
think you please disagree?
Look, the Steelers' offensive line, in case you didn't notice... had some issues, okay, the other night. They're not going to have any easy goings against the Steelers, I mean, against the Bears. And I'll tell you what, they've got to be able to run the football against the Bears, and they're not going to be able to do that either. Chicago wins that game. Unless Jay Cutler throws three or four picks, Chicago wins that game.
One thing I will say, as a, I'm not going to hide the fact that I'm a Steelers fan, the one thing that has, that's a shame is, not only is this wasting a year of Roethlisberger's prime, which is fast coming to a close. You know, he doesn't have a ton of years playing at this level. And this season, if they don't win this Bears game, is basically down the tubes. Not only that, but for all the talk of how old the team is, their better players on defense, are a lot of them at least, are old guys, and you're wasting their years as well. Ike Taylor was terrific. He did about as good a job as you can do on A.J. Green in Cincinnati. And the defense in general, Polamalu's looking better than he has. Timmons is still dynamite. He's an underrated guy in the league in general. I feel bad for all those guys that are just getting flushed down the toilet for him. E.H., you say the Bears are going to win too, huh?
I do.
Please, fellas. Don't you understand drama requires conflict? That's a rule.
Can you give us a game where there is a even game rather than the three mismatches?
How could I forecast unless we ahead of time?
Three mismatches.
You know, Tim Brown was one of the most heavily recruited high school athletes out of Woodrow Wilson High School in
Dallas. I didn't know that.
He was a great high school football player, but his senior year, his high school football team, I don't think they won a game. Or they went like 1-10. Isn't that crazy? You think of a guy that level that wins a Heisman Trophy. That he would single, you know, you always hear these stories, but they were terrible.
You know, they show video, you'll see, it's hard to really imagine when you hear about, like, Michael Jordan didn't make his high school team in his sophomore year. But, you know, I played in Pittsburgh, my high school team, played against a name no one will know, Darrell Porter, unless you were a Pitt basketball fan in the late 80s, you won't know his name. He was the sixth man on a good Pitt basketball team in the late 80s. He torched us for 40 points in the first half, and that was it. Which begs the question, what must happen? Basketball is one thing if you're 6'8" and how you would dominate everybody, too. But I'd love to see some more film of some of the behemoths. Like, what was B.J. Raji like in high school? It must have been laughable looking at him, right? He must have. Did the other team do any? How does a guy that how does a team that has Tim Brown on it lose a game?
It's really. Let's see. The late 80s. That's Jerome Lane era, right?
Oh, yeah.
Pitt,
good for you.
Pitt basketball.
Charles Smith, Sean Miller, that, coach of Arizona now.
Oh, yeah. Jerome Lane, didn't he shatter the backboard?
He did. Yeah.
I've told the story on this college guy.
Well, I've told the story before. On that same night, I chose to go to a Pittsburgh Penguins hockey game instead of attending that game in the Fitzgerald Fieldhouse. So I missed the iconic moment of Jerome Lane's career. But I've gotten over it. What I'm not over yet is you guys not picking against each other. How about this one? E.H., the Green Bay Packers at 1-1, traveling into Cincinnati, coming off their Monday night victory. What I considered to be pretty close to a must win, as close as you can get in week two. How say you?
The Packers are going to thump them because the Bengals will not be able to cover their outside talent, and they're going to go up tempo.
Elliot, I agree.
No! I don't like it. Did you guys agree to this to torment me?
No, we did not.
I don't trust Newman and
Pac-Man. Who are you picking in that game?
I'll reveal them in just a minute here, but I am going to take the Packers in that one.
Well, so
I think it's very interesting, though. I think it's a fascinating game.
It is, but I mean, you want some? My analysis of it is that Andy Dalton can't keep pace with that. That offense cannot keep pace with the Packers offense. That's why they'll win the game. I'm not saying that the Bengals are a terrible team, going to get blown away. I think that they're just not going to be able to score as
fast. I'll
tell
you what. Cincinnati, clearly the more talented team on Monday night against Pittsburgh.
But they made
at
hard
home,
work of it.
At home, right. This is something I said. You know, of course, this is a team that could go to the Super Bowl on one hand. They have about as big a range of possibilities as any NFL team. and we talked about that in the preseason, they could go to the title game or to the Super Bowl. On the other hand, in March, the buzz could be, well, what are the Bengals going to do? I mean, they can't continue with Andy Dalton, so who are they going to draft now?
Yeah, and it's interesting. The last 2 years, they famously played kind of what looked like preseason, postseason games against the Texans to kind of kick off the playoffs. And I find there's a lot of similarities between those two teams, just generally, you know, with a strong defense, kind of offense strong at some positions, especially at wide receiver, but a quarterback where there's a bunch of question marks about whether he's a guy that is just a game manager, someone who's not going to make a terrible mistake, but are they the one to get them over the hump? And I think both those teams have that. I think Houston's a little bit further along the line because they have some more explosive playmakers across both sides of the ball. But I'm not convinced, and I don't think we'll have the answer at the end of this year that Andy Dalton is that guy.
Well, what about, though, again, for A.J. Green, the best wide receiver in the AFC. Mohamed Sanu is who are you putting ahead of him?
Maybe most productive. But productive doesn't always mean reliable.
He's
on third
dynamite.
And six.
Well, he's terrific.
He drops some balls. He can be unreliable sometimes. If I have a game on the line,
Let me guess you're going to say. You're going to say Andre Johnson.
You bet. Look at what Andre Johnson did against the Chargers. Mm-hmm. I've never seen A.J. Green do. Take a game over. What Reggie Wayne did last year in the Chuck Strong game against the Packers, they could not stop him. They could not cover him. Productivity does not always translate to the best receiver. But we're digressing here. You watch the Steelers-Bengals game. How many times did the Steelers have receivers running wide open? Cotchery dropped one right in his hands. Paulson. The Bengals... Leon Hall has not been the same since he got hurt. He was once maybe the best corner in the AFC. Pac-Man Jones, can we agree, is an average corner. Mm-hmm. Terrence Newman, love him. Love him. But he's in year 11. He's not a shutdown corner. I just don't think that they are as good.
I was surprised that they didn't just consistently get a huge pass rush on Roethlisberger against that.
That's true.
Tattered offensive line.
And they were rotating their linemen in, but I didn't see Geno Atkins hardly make any plays.
That's the biggest surprise, is that the Steelers bring a center off the street, and he essentially plays dead even with Geno Atkins over the course of the game. The Houston Texans at the Baltimore Ravens. Handsome, I'm going to start with you on this one.
Dave, I think the Houston Texans are going to win this game.
The Houston Texans going into Baltimore and winning it. EH, how say you?
I'm going to throw the challenge flag on
Yes! Yes! Finally! I can't believe that this is what it took, too, because I'll tell you this. I'm taking the Texans. All right, explain yourself.
I think this is a home upset, if there is one. I've seen the Texans play very sloppy in the first two games. I don't like Baltimore right now. I think Baltimore is a run-of-the-mill mediocre football team the way they're playing right now, but the Texans keep... They have nine lives the last 2 weeks, and I think they run out on the road in Baltimore. They just can't afford to show up and play the way that they have versus the Chargers and Tennessee. And Joe Flacco will make them pay, even with a bunch of run-in-the-mill guys, if they play the way they have on the back end the first two games.
Boy, Torrey Smith, and that is it. You know, they really have absolutely nothing in terms of pass catchers. I know they got hurt, but letting Bolden go and so on. Yeah, I like the Texans. I think the Ravens have a chance to be bad. And, you know, going back to the Andy Dalton thing, if Andy Dalton is, and I don't think he has to be a world beater, but he has to be pretty good, you know, with the weapons around him. Oh, to make the point I started to make, you didn't like A.J. Green being called the best receiver in the AFC, but still, Sanu and Marvin Jones and those two young athletic tight ends, and now Gio Bernard looking dynamic. How bad can you be to blow? I mean, how can that team not be scoring 30 a game? I don't know. And maybe they'll turn the corner starting this weekend. But if that doesn't happen, the AFC North is just going to be an abject joke division then. Because I think the Ravens are bad. I think the Steelers are bad. I mean, I don't think legitimately 3-13 bad, but I don't think the Ravens or Steelers are very good teams. The Browns would appear to be a stink team now. And if the Bengals are good, not great, and 10-6-ish, that's your NFL's worst division.
I think if you look across the AFC generally, if you take Denver out of the equation, who's the second best team? You're right.
Houston
is, but they're not playing up to what I think we all expected Houston to do at this point of the year.
I think we look
who
back.
Who is that second best team?
I say the Texans, and I think the other side of that coin is that they haven't played great, but they've pulled out two tough games. And for a team like that has Matt Schaub, I think that they need those kind of wins that they look back on as inspirational and showed our mettle and something that in the locker room becomes the storyline mm-hmm. of the season, that we're never out of a game and we can always pull it out. I mean, those are two such victories that they've had in
that's
two
right
weeks.
You can count on us to beat the Bengals in the wild card.
Well, no, I think they're gonna have the top seed when it's all said and done. All right, I feel like we should stop there just because
if we get one of these every week and a half, then this segment's worth keeping.
I want to commit it to video. I love it. If only you would disagree once in a blue moon.
Come on, let's try again.
One more. Here it is. The San Diego, this will lead us into our interview with Dwight Freeney perfectly.
Oh, you're good at this.
San Diego Chargers, surprising to some at 1-1, a nice victory there in Philadelphia against the Tennessee Titans, who probably are wringing their hands because they could be 2-0 in first place alone in the AFC South, narrowly lost to those Texans. How say you, E.H.?
I think the Chargers are going to go into Tennessee and lose to the home team. Jake Locker's run for 13 yards so far. I think that changes. He's going to take off this week, not worry about throwing the ball down the field, and just win the game. Titans win at home.
Dave, I've got my challenge flag in my hand.
Throw it.
And there's a voice in my ear.
Throw it.
And
I want to throw it. Quick, coach.
I want to throw it, but I'm not going to. I like what the Chargers have done up until now, but I think going on the road to Tennessee, I'm not going to pick them to win that game. I think it'll be a good game. I think it'll be a close game. I think the Chargers are going to be a better team than we probably expected them to be, but I don't think they can win. I don't think they pull this one out.
Right. Check. I'll tell you, for picks column I wrote for NFL.com, which will be up tomorrow, I said this
on Thursday.
Thursday, excuse me. This was the toughest game. I think this is the closest game on the week three schedule. I can't find one that's more evenly
all right, I'm
matched
doing one more. I don't know why, but I'm going to do the ones that are right
wait,
there.
Wait, you didn't say who you thought was going to win.
I'm going to get my picks in my 60-second pick segment that has swept the nation. Detroit Lions at Washington Redskins, 1-1 Lions on the road in D.C. Handsome.
Dave, this is one actually I don't write a picks column, but I do the pick'em on NFL.com /pick'em on the Damashek segment there.
And, DDFP is our
DDFP. Group. And I chose the Redskins. And then about 20 minutes later, I went back in and I switched to the Lions. I think the Lions are going to win that game.
Yeah, they're not worried, they say, long-term about Reggie Bush, but let's assume.
The report is he is 50-50 right now.
Yeah,
it's all about Joik this week.
Joik. I think it's also RG3 might have something to say about the outcome of this game.
I'm throwing my Redskin
flag. Woo!
I picked the Redskins to get off the schneid this week. They are not my 0-3 team. I do have a team that might surprise you going 0-3.
I know who that is.
But not the Redskins. The Redskins, I think, they do it this week against the Lions, who just make too many mistakes. The Lions were so sloppy, guys, against the Cardinals. But it was awful.
It's sad that it's no longer a surprise to you that the Steelers are going to be 0-3. That might be a surprise that I have them at 0-3. This is what it's like to root for a bum team, apparently. Yes, Handsome.
How are the Redskins' defense going to stop that Lions offense?
Well, I think the Lions, Reggie Bush is hurt. Okay. Nate Burleson, I love him. He's a reliable player, but I don't think he poses the kind of threat that Jordy and Randall Cobb, for example, pose. This is not a team, that can run the kind of offense that the Eagles did in week one. They haven't proven to be able to do that yet.
Nope.
Matt Stafford's not a threat to pull an Alex Smith on you and run for 50-something yards. Okay, so now that leaves Megatron. And, oh, by the way, you know, RG3 is just now getting back into the swing of things. I think the Redskins will slow it down at home. They'll run the football. And, again, home. They're at home.
I said before the season, I know who your surprise 0-3 team is, because I said before the season, I think this is your sneaky bad team of the NFC. It's the New York Giants, right?
Actually, I changed my mind.
It's the Panthers.
It's the Panthers. Yep.
The Panthers are going to lose. What about real quick, and then we'll get to my picks. I'll blow through those in 60 seconds or less. What do we think about Tom Brady and the Patriots? Any chance, first of all, the Tampa Bay and with the mess they've got going on there, can they somehow steal this one? Let's remember, last year, Arizona went in there and beat them at roughly this time. Mm-hmm. The Patriots looked like absolute garbage, in my opinion, against the lowly Jets. Are you concerned about what Brady doesn't have in terms of targets? I'm not optimistic about Rob Gronkowski coming back in the shape that we've seen him playing, and he's got a bum back. How say you, EH? What about the Patriots' prospects in 2013?
Well, let me say this. I think the Patriots will make the playoffs. Given the state of some of the other teams around the AFC, they are 2-0. They have two division wins, which is really the key here. They beat Buffalo. They beat the Jets. Buffalo was a road game. That's important, which means, guess what? They don't have to go play Buffalo in December. The other thing here regarding New England, I just want to get this out. I am so sick of hearing people talk about Tom Brady screaming on the sideline. Guess what, dude? Aaron Dobson, you had OTAs, mini camps, training camp, preseason, and a week of regular season to learn where you're supposed to be, okay? And dropping the football is not a rookie mistake. You're just dropping the football, you know? So if Tom Brady wants to yell, he's earned that right to yell. I don't get this whole...
Here's what I say. You know, I agree with it in a vacuum. Listen, Michael Jordan was known to yell at guys, obviously. Dan Marino did it. I do think the other side of the coin, I mean, most of these guys are so competitive that, of course, behind closed doors. Tom Brady, in fact, our pal Daniel Jeremiah told an anecdote about the idea that Tom Brady's never yelled at anybody, that suddenly this is what's his frustration is boiling over, is laughable. He yells at everybody in practice. He's the leader of the team. I do think, though, that if you're a young guy, the Bob Knight way. I went to Indiana University, and I cheered for Bob Knight's teams, obviously. But I do think, if it were me, for instance, I don't respond well to that. The idea that everybody's going to respond to being berated like that and make them better is simply untrue. And it's Tom Brady's team, and maybe that means that those players that don't respond well to it aren't long for a gig on that team. But the assumption that this is how you motivate everybody to yell at them and berate them is working. I think that it's worth pointing that part out.
Okay, but we don't know that Tom Brady wasn't just yelling out loud, stupid, whatever, bleep, mistakes. Not literally like, hey, you stink, but just like, I can't believe we are screwing. We don't know exactly what it was he was saying. And let me tell you another thing. Every game is covered now. Okay, you're going to tell me in the 70s that Sonny Jurgensen didn't yell at a wide receiver, or that Brian Sipe in the 80s didn't yell at a receiver? I know Dan Marino yelled at players, but we didn't have 6 billion cameras with red zone and everything where we could see every single game. So I don't think what Tom Brady did was anything different than what, you know, Sid Luckman might have done in the 40s with the Bears.
All right, Black Tie, it's time for me to make my picks at NFL.com. Weekly Pick'em under the group DDFP. Join us. On your marks, get set, start the music. I'm picking the Chiefs on the road with Andy Reid. He has knowledge of that Eagles team. I think that helps him in a tight game. Texans over the Ravens. Packers over the Bengals. Close, though. Rams at Cowboys. Guess what? The Rams are going to go into Dallas and win that game. I like how they're playing. I like that offense, obviously, in particular, and they're going to get heat on Romo. Atlanta Falcons at the Miami Dolphins. Here's your little gem of a stat. Julio Jones is monstrous over the course of his career on the road for some reason. You would think on the fast track and a dome, everything in his favor, but no, he thrives on the road. Cleveland at Minnesota, now it's the Vikings, easy. Bills at the Jets. Bills keep rolling, but they better not get overconfident going into a good defense with Rex Ryan. Buccaneers, Patriots. Patriots win a closer-than-expected one. Cardinals at Saints. The Saints. The Chargers and the Titans. I will take Tennessee at home. Detroit at the Redskins. Tough game. Tough, tough game. I think the Redskins right the ship. The New York Giants at the Panthers. Cam Newton explodes and sends the Giants to 0-3. Colts at Niners. Niners big. That's going to be a blowout. The Jags and the Seahawks are getting it on. That one, the Seahawks will win, but Pete Carroll has a bad habit of not showing up the week after the San Francisco game, so that one won't be the gimme that everybody thinks it is, or the laugher everybody expects. Steelers at Bears, season on the line. Boy, I'd like to take the Steelers, but I can't. It's the Bears, finally. Raiders at Broncos. So there it is. Stop the music. 60 seconds, right?
But you've left time on the clock for Elliot Harrison. You never, ever want to do that.
I want to say one. I do want to get one thought on this from you guys, one legitimate thing. The injuries now adding up for the Broncos offensive line. EH, what do you think there? Is that a legit? To me, Peyton Manning, I've said it a million times, obviously. I'm not just bashing the guy. He doesn't like pressure. And, of course, the response is no one likes pressure. But he and Tom Brady really don't like it. They really, really don't like it, it seems to me. How say you, EH? I think that's a problem for this team.
I think it's a problem once we get into the postseason, but I don't see Kansas City closing the gap on Denver. Denver wins the AFC West. Yes, the offensive line is a problem. Peyton Manning gets the ball out so quick.
Everything they throw is underneath now. He doesn't ever try to throw the ball more than 20 yards, so I agree with you.
Right, and I think Sean Marino is going to end up being pretty important for this team because he can block on third down on passing downs.
Anything to add to that?
I like that last point. It started happening at the end of last season, but I think Sean Marino, having kind of been written off as one of those first-round running back busts, has actually come through and been, okay, he's not a guy that you just want to give the ball to a bunch of times, but he's a pretty valuable asset to that team.
San Diego Chargers defensive end Dwight Freeney coming up with me and Adam Rank. But first, these words. Hi, everybody. Dave Damashek here for Poached Eggs. Sure, you enjoy waking up with a nice egg, but go the extra mile. Don't feel pretentious about doing it. Order it poached. Yeah, you might feel fancy, but your lips will tell you it's delicious. Poached eggs, the way to go. Now, back to the show. All right, look who it is. He's back in his chair now, and it's a banner day for him because yes. Mike Trout of the Halos is now following him on Twitter. Yep. You know him from NFL.com. It's Adam Rank. What's the poop, fellow?
Hey, boss. Thanks for having me. Thanks for letting me jump in on this.
Sure, sure.
One of my favorites.
I know. This is exciting times. We talked with him just before the season got going, and I'm not going to jive him because I felt that there was a little sense of, this is a major life upheaval to move from Indianapolis to San Diego, but it's looking like a sunny move now. It's Dwight Freeney. What's the poop, fella?
Nothing much. How you guys doing, man?
Well, wonderful. Not as good as you. Rank's feeling good because he has Mike Trout following him on Twitter. But what about you, Dwight Freeney? First of all, mazel tov. You're 1-1 and looking pretty good in spite of the Monday night mess that happened in the fourth quarter in week one.
Yes, everything is a learning experience. Everything you have to learn from, you learn a lot from losses, sometimes more from losses than wins, and you lose that first game and obviously it hurt a lot, but we learn and you have to keep learning. Hey, we have to finish these games.
I'm sorry, Dwight, I didn't mean to cut you off, but one of the things that was the most impressive to me is that the Monday night game was a disappointment. It ended the way it did, but then you guys play on the East Coast, a 10 a.m. game against a team that's not a division rival, so there's not a lot of prep time, against a coach who you only have 1 week of film on. How were you guys able to pull that off?
Yeah, and it shows the character of this team and, the resilience, and just being able to bounce back from a game like that where, a lot of people, have written us off already. hey, you know what? San Diego Chargers are done this year because we lost the first game of the year in that type of fashion, which is ridiculous. And that's why you have 16 games on the schedule. And thank God every week is like, its own individual. You look at it as a Super Bowl every week, and that's our focus, focusing on that next team no matter what happened. Have short-term memory, no matter if you win or you lose.
How tough is that what Rank brings up, though, now that you're, obviously you spend the bulk of your career in Indy. What's it like now being a West Coast team playing those games that for you feel like 10 a.m.? Is that a major upheaval physiologically and such?
Well, you know what? If you think about it, I guess from a standpoint of just, waking up at 10 a.m., you're used to waking up at that time trying to perform that early. But the good thing about what we're doing here in San Diego on a day-to-day basis is we practice at that time every day. Mm. So the coaches have us waking up at 6:45, 7 o'clock in the morning, and our body is getting accustomed to getting ready to go at 10 a.m. every day. So the 1 o'clock games on the East Coast don't make that much of a difference in terms as that is concerned because of the fact that the coaching staff has done such a great job of getting us ready on a day-to-day basis.
Speaking of coaching, obviously Chip Kelly's offense is one of the things people are buzzing about. What was that like out there? You guys did a nice job. I guess that offense was productive. Yours was that much more so. But what was it like going against Mike Vick and what they're doing? Did it feel unique to you? Had you seen anything like that?
Well, I mean, there was parts of it that were unique, and there was parts of it that was, you know, same old, you know. It's a fast-tempo offense. I've faced fast-tempo offenses before, okay? But the other part of it that I didn't face as much is the college read system. So when I was in college, they had the option game, which is more of what it was. It wasn't this gun formation. You know, you have this four options. You can either give it to the fullback, the quarterback can run. You can throw the slot pass, or you can throw this pass. We didn't have all that. And it was funny, leading up into this week, I was asking the younger guys, now here, I'm a 12-year guy, 12-year vet. I'm asking rookies, hey, give me some tips on how to play this offense. You know, but, you know, we did a great job, and, you know, we got them off the field a few times, you know, early on three plays and out, which really helped, and it's really detrimental to that type of offense when you can do that, because then their defense is back on the field real fast, and with our offense doing what we did, keeping the ball twice as long as they did, that's why you have the results you have.
As a defensive player, though, do you take a little bit of an exception to everybody raving about this offense? I'm sure leading up to the game, that's all you heard about, and of course the first couple of questions we're asking about is this offense. Did you kind of feel like, you know what, I really want to go and shut this down because I don't want to hear about it all year?
I mean, absolutely. You know, as a defensive guy, you take that approach every week. I mean, no matter what. But obviously, when you got guys, you know, saying, hey, you know, Michael Irvin, my man, saying they're going to score, will they score 60 points? You know, it's kind of like slap in the face for a defensive guy. Like, all right, 60? Come on. That's ridiculous. So now you want to go out there and prove everyone wrong and prove that, you know what, it's not just the Philadelphia Eagles offense out here. And it's, you know, the San Diego Chargers defense and an offense, you know, and it's not all about offense, you know, it's just collectively. And sometimes you have to make plays Yeah, they had a lot of yards against us, but did they win the game? And that's the only thing that really matters. Is did they have the yards when it counted and when it mattered?
Well, to talk about offense, though, Eddie Royal, where did this come from?
Oh, Eddie's been, you know, a great player over the years now. You know, he's always been that great slot receiver in different systems. You know, and this year we're utilizing him great, and he had a great game. You know, and Phillips threw that ball, and the best thing is the offensive line protected and gave Phillips time to throw the ball, so hats off to the offensive line.
Do you think Eddie Royal had Eddie Royal in his fantasy lineup on last Sunday? I hope he did for his sake.
Well, if he didn't, I'm sure he has himself in there now.
Now you go. So you go Arian Foster week one, then you go Shady McCoy, and now you got coming up Chris Johnson. Which of those guys to you is the scariest? Which of those guys is the most fun to sort of play against? Because I love watching Shady McCoy. I love how shifty he is, even though he's not a burner necessarily. Who do you enjoy or fear or whatever among those running backs?
Well, McCoy is definitely, as far as ability, cutting, like, don't know where he's going to end up. He had one run against us, which was the most amazing three-yard run I've ever seen. You know, he made four guys miss. 3-yard game.
When they were backed up at the goal line,
yes,
right? Yep,
yes,
I know exactly the one.
I couldn't believe this guy was still on his feet for 3 yards. You know, and you know, he's something else, man. I'm glad I don't play in that division. And, you know, Chris is an amazing guy too, though. I mean, Chris has home run threat ability every single time he touches the ball, and that's the thing about Chris. He's definitely a load.
And talk a little bit of change gears here about your Vision to Learn event going on. It's Tuesday, and I understand you have a couple of events going on. If you could talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I just finished up this great event, you know, here in L.A. Called Vision to Learn. And basically, it's giving, like, underprivileged communities, and we went to this elementary school, and giving these kids glasses so that they can read the board and study and do their homework and things of that nature. And sometimes you don't realize how important that is. But, you know, as when you're growing up and you're in kindergarten or whatever grade you're in, first or second grade, and the teacher's up there writing stuff on the board, and if you can't see and your parents can't afford glasses, what do? You know, and this is the time where, you know, there are sponges. This is where they learn the most at this time in this age. And they get labeled disabled and learning disability and all this other stuff. And it's not the case. It's the fact that they can't see, you know, and they need to be able to see. And you know, looking at the board doesn't get them tired and restless. So that was the first event. And we handed a bunch of glasses out to some great kids. And now I'm headed down to San Diego to Manello restaurant in Little Italy. And I got another deal where we're helping out underprivileged kids in really tough areas and just really dealing with after-school programming type of stuff and keeping them off the street and childhood obesity, trying to teach these kids how to eat right, you know, and doing things at a younger age so when they get older, you know, it's a lot easier for them.
Wow, busy man, busy philanthropist, Dwight Freeney. He's chasing around QBs and running backs on Sundays and spending today helping out various young people in need. Rank, and
let me tell you something about this Little Italy area, and especially that the restaurant you're going to, Manella, is fantastic. Do you spend a lot of time in Little Italy?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You might see me walking around Little Italy all the time. You know, just it's a great area, great people over there, just... You know, and the weather being in San Diego makes it even better.
I know that Philippe's is the one everybody, the pizza place that everybody talks about. The one next door, though, across the parking lot, that one, I wish I'm trying to rack my brain, but that place, all of it's fantastic.
Maybe you could do a PSA for the city of San Diego, but right? Everybody, can I talk about football again?
First of all, hold on. Everybody talks about the gas lamp and they rave about it. Little Italy is the place you want to be.
All right.
That's all I got to say.
San Diegans. Here, Rank now. Move over, Ron Burgundy. Rank is the new mouthpiece of San Diego. All right, Freeney, real quick, who wins a foot race, your old quarterback, Peyton Manning, or your new quarterback, Phil Rivers?
Oh, man.
A 40-yard dash. Who wins it?
Phillip Rivers.
Oh, no. That's about as big an indictment of Peyton as I can think of. Those got to be the two slowest, right?
Well, I think it was out of him. Well, see, Drew Bledsoe, who retired, so it was Drew, Dan Marino, and Payton. I'm all set.
Yeah, I think you might want to. Yeah, Brandon Whedon might be a sneaky play in that competition as well. Speaking of that, what do you make of? Well, I mean, now it's interesting. I guess you kind of touch on it by saying you're soliciting the advice of the young guys. What for you is the quarterback you want going forward? The traditional style guy who stands in the pocket and slings it? Or if you know, everything's on the line, do you like the idea of the hybrid QB, the guy who can get out of the pocket and run with it too?
Well, you know, it just depends on the guy. I mean, and even in what you're describing, there are variations to that. You got a guy who you know, I would pretty much say, out of all of that, just the quarterback who holds on the ball longest. So if you're a pocket passer, great. But hold on to the ball. If you're a guy who likes to run, okay, great. Stay in the pocket and run. Don't run out past the line of scrimmage.
Last thing for you, Dwight. You mentioned that you're glad you're not in Shady McCoy's division. You do happen to be in the division, though, with the undefeated Chiefs, the undefeated Broncos. Both those teams looking pretty good. What's your early season evaluation of how the West is shaping up?
Yeah, we're going to be surprising a lot of teams in the National Football League, you know, and now we have a pretty strong division. And it's going to be, you know, we're going to contend. We're going to contend. I can't give you a prediction who makes playoffs, who doesn't, who stays undefeated, who doesn't. But I know this, we're going to definitely give our best effort week in and week out.
All right, listen, Dwight Freeney will let you go. Like you mentioned, you are in between two good causes right now. Give us real quick, what's a website that we can help out?
Yeah, if you go to DwightFreeney.com, you know, I have a lot of this stuff posted up there, you know, as far as events that I'm doing and things that, you know, I want to do. And if people have suggestions, they can also put that on the website here. And then I'll see if I can do it.
Excellent, excellent. All right, well, listen, clearly the Chargers not just benefiting from Dwight Freeney's arrival, so is the city of San Diego in general. Go enjoy Little Italy, and good luck against those Titans this weekend, man.
Hey, man, thank you for having me. Appreciate it. You guys take care.
All right, we hope to talk to you sooner rather than later. The great Dwight Freeney, number 93.
You listen to Dave Demichek.
At Dwight Freeney, nice fella. Seems like he's doing good deeds in the city of San Diego. How say you, though, who do you have in the race among NFL quarterbacks? Who is the last place finisher?
I don't know about that. I was wondering if I could beat any NFL quarterback in a foot race.
That would be a fun bit of humiliation.
I would think I would come 29th in that race.
I think, especially if he's wearing his big old rib cage flak jacket, I think Sean Hill would not be able to keep up with you, brother.
Well, Chaz Batch is out of the league now, yep. So that's one person who I might have been able to take down.
The hefty lefty's gone as well, because I can beat him.
You know, I've said often I am the most I'm the slowest coordinated person that I know. I'm not a bad athlete. It just takes me a long time, and that would be interesting. We should really line that up.
We should try and get it done.
Wonder what Peyton Manning's 40 time is. Wonder what it was even. I mean, that couldn't have been good coming out of college. Tom Brady's had to be bad. Phil Rivers. Isn't it interesting that when you start reading them off that they're among the best QBs in the game, too? I'm not necessarily putting Phil Rivers in that. Matt Schaub used to run, but he doesn't run so well anymore. I'm trying to look around. Joe Flacco. I guess he moves all right. Yeah, I think we're down to the Brady. Oh, and Brandon Whedon.
Brandon Whedon doesn't have wheels.
No, indeed. We've said it all. We've said more than enough, in fact. Make sure you head over to NFL.com. Look, what is it again? The NFL Rewind.
Game Rewind.
Game Rewind. I'm embarrassed.
You shouldn't do this bit anymore if you don't know the name.
You were going to do it anyway. I hand it off to you.
If you want to watch games after Sunday, after they're played this weekend, go to NFL Game Rewind. Get NFL Game Rewind. Buy it. If you put the promo code DDFP in there, you'll get 10% off that. Then if you're an international, if you're one of our people listening outside the United States of America, actually get Game Pass. Thank you, Elliot. You can get Game Pass. You can watch those games live. Wow. It's terrific.
Phenomenal product.
Same thing. DDFP is a promo code. You get 10% off. It's on us.
People have tweeted me and said they used the 10% code. Other people.
Go get it now because it expires on the 20th. So
You better go get it. It comes out of Dave's paycheck for the month of October.
And I'm telling you,
I'm happy to do it.
If you're overseas, get Game Pass. You will be sorry.
Yeah, I've heard.
It changed my life. When I lived in England, I had it for whatever 3 or 4 years before I moved out here, and it changed my life.
All right, listen, that's that. We're gonna wrap it up here. I say my parting words are: go Steelers, have some dignity. What are you? This isn't Cleveland. This is unacceptable. What's happening? You can beat those stinking Bears. And Todd Haley, throw the ball to Marcus Wheaton once in a while. How about that? The kid's a playmaker. That's what the Steelers need. Those are my closing thoughts. HH?
My closing thoughts are: go Dolphins. Let's go beat those Falcons.
EH.
I'm kind of with you, man. That sounds like a 50s band. Todd Haley and the Three and Outs, man.
It's really sad to watch. But, again, that's the whole AFC North. All right. We'll see what happens, and then we'll talk after it. I guess we'll do that on Monday evening. You can be on the lookout for that podcast. In the meantime, Elliot's power rankings, his picks for the week. My spoiler alert picks are coming up on the weekend. The sports car with Jamal Charles. The Sheck Report. My college football Final Four thing. They're all out there for your perusal. All you have to do is go and find them. They're like stars up in the sky or dreams. Go up and grab one for yourself. With those words, I wish your team all the best, unless your team is playing my team. Until next time, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.